Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone.
Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate, and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
This is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to wish y'all out there, fathers out there, happy Father's Day, especially those who are really taking care of business, taking care of their kids, being responsible fathers, like the Bible tells us to do. But those who are skipping out on the true meaning of being a father, shame on you. You will sooner or later have to stand in front of God to give an account for your sloppery fatherhood. Today, we need to also think about the Father of the universe, the one who is giving you life and giving you air. A lot of people tend to go to church on Sundays, and that's supposedly a good place for you to be. But the Bible says that you offer the sacrifice of food. People tend to give you their opinion on what the Bible says, and them themselves do not know what it says. The Bible says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." That's also distorted knowledge. God is love, but He's also a God of justice. And we have to understand that. If we are to make it to heaven, we have to go through God's way. There is not one person that can actually tell someone else what God says unless they understand His word. Unless they understand when Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." If they don't understand that basic principle, they already messed up. But it even goes further. When people say that we can be gods or we are gods, preaching another gospel spoken of in Galatians chapter 1, we are in trouble. We need to preach the gospel and do it in the right way. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on Loud Live Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Status habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the scripture tells of his coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
Okay, we're back. I want to finish up what I was saying. And then we're going to go ahead and go to some clips that I have for y'all to listen to. Kingdom of God is like Jesus said, it's like a treasure. You ever seen a treasure hunter go out and look for a treasure? A lot of people today do not even leave the house to look for the treasure. If the kingdom, symbolically speaking, the kingdom of God is supposed to be searched. It's supposed to be focused on. If you were to hit a dartboard, you're trying to hit the bullseye. But life, we know life. We know how life is. Not everybody's going to hit the bullseye. But people think that they can hit any part of the wall and be okay and not necessarily hit the bullseye. When you get a job, or if you went to a certain college, or if you ran for office, or if you were to fix a car, you would need to follow the same rules and laws that govern success. To be a success in that area. So if you are fixing a car, you cannot half-heartedly fix the car. You have to actually fix the car. And see, if salvation was given to man as a free gift, you still have to follow what the Word of God says. Jesus said, "He who keeps my commandments is truly my disciple." If we are to read his word and study it and meditate on it and have a relationship with Christ, he will guide us. See, life is not a place where you can cross your own Red Sea, open the gates of open the flow of water by yourself. Just like Moses had to have God, we have to have God too. See, so what people do is they go to church on Sunday and say, "Okay, God, you can go your separate way. See you later," and wave at them and say bye, and live the way they want to live. And they might occasionally pray. They might even occasionally read their Bible. But we have to have a relationship. Jesus has to be your everything. God has to be your everything. Oh, I went to the casino. You can't be going to the casino. You have to focus in on what God wants us to do. If you go play a lottery, does God want you to be playing a lottery? Do you have faith that God can supply all your needs? Do you understand the concept of the basics of the foundation that is laid upon Jesus? He is the foundation. And we must build upon that foundation. We cannot go around it. We cannot go anywhere away from it. We can only be saved through Jesus Christ. And he's the only one that can see us through. That's why he says, many were saying to me in that day, Lord, Lord. And he also said that broad is the way to lead to destruction, and many there be to find it. When that dartboard is on the wall and you're hitting in every place and it's up the dartboard, broad is the way, folks. Even that broad way established the fact that you can sit in church almost every day, and if something's wrong with your doctrine, you are not headed in the right direction. Galatians 1, chapter 1, took care of that. So the basics of Christianity, the common salvation. Now you understand that Jude, in the book of Jude, he wanted to talk about the common salvation, but the Holy Spirit led him somewhere else. The Holy Spirit had led him to focus in on false doctrine and false teachers, which today are leading people astray, folks. These false teachers are leading you astray, telling you can be a god, telling you that, Jesus was rich. Jesus wasn't rich. He says foxes have holes and the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So you're going to tell me Jesus was rich? Quit lying to them folks. Tell them the truth. You mean to tell me, oh, you be the best person you can be? What kind of doctrine, what kind of gospel is that? I mean, eventually you're going to be the best person you can be. The Bible says be the head and not the tail. If I would have just concentrated on that practicality a while back, I would be okay. Me and my wife would be okay. We wouldn't have to worry about this or that. We pulling out of the thing now. That's the thing. That's what happens when people do not obey God's word. And I don't even admit that to myself. I'll admit that as someone. I make my own mistakes. I'll tell y'all. That's why I could talk to y'all, because I'm going to get the plank out of my eye first before I get the speck out of yours. But we have to know that we know that we know that we are paying attention to God's word so we can stay out of those problems. He says sin reaps corruption. If you sleep with somebody that's not your husband or wife, you catch the herpes. You can't get rid of that. If you're smoking something or you're drinking something, you jump in the car and you get in a wreck, you can't do nothing about it. Especially if you're walking in a wheelchair and the only thing you can move is your right finger. Come on now. We need Jesus. We need his power. We need his strength. We need to have God as the number one person in our lives before we can go to heaven. That is the sum. Now, we are all sinners and we fall short of the glory of God, but it says in 1 John that we do not practice sin. We do not practice sin. When we come back, we're going to go ahead and look at some current events. We'll be back.
Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Wow. What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same, because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone. To offend people, because the Bible, the gospel will offend. The true gospel is an uncomfortable thing. And if people believe that you're supposed to go to church and listen to some preacher that's supposed to tap you on your shoulder and rub your ear and kiss you on your cheek, you might be in the wrong place. I believe that if you can sit and listen to your pastor at least three sermons in a straight and don't feel uncomfortable, you might want to check your church. And a lot of people, what we do is we tend to pick up the Bible and read happy stuff. You need to pick up the Bible and go straight through the New Testament and read what's going to hurt. If you went out, you and your husband went out, and you told your husband, hey, you need some gum. I mean, if your husband gets offended, well, that's on him, but you're trying to help him, help him. So if someone does not want to hear the news, I know my wife watches a show called Intervention, and some of these people don't want to hear what they need to hear that's going to help them. But, the gospel's the same way, folks. The gospel's going to tell you not to live with your boyfriend. The gospel is going to tell you need to, if you're going to drink, for real. I mean, If you really think about it, folks, if you played in the NFL and you drunk a 40-ounce before you went to practice, and you're a wide receiver, you might as well just go ahead and get ready to bring two shirts because you're going to throw all up on that shirt. Because I'm telling y'all, drinking and driving, drinking and playing football, drinking and being on the computer, unless you're really good at it, ain't good. Drinking and going to work. You work in one of them sawmills, you're going to cut your hand off. So if you're a teacher and you go to school drunk, I mean, normally society will catch you and cut you. Society will catch you and fire you. They're going to let you go. Okay? So if you go to, you think you can drink and get out of it, Bible says that drinking is a mockery. It pokes fun of you. It says, oh, come get me again. Go to the store. You can go to the store. You need one more 40-ounce, man. There's never enough until you sleep. There's never enough. I've been there, folks. God had to deliver me from alcoholism. It's never enough. Don't trick yourself. Oh, I can just drink this one beer and I'll be good. Some people like that. Some people can do that. My mom can drink one glass of champagne and be good with it. But other folks can't. Other folks can't do that. I'm telling y'all. You know. But the Bible talks about a person being able to balance coal on their chest, and you know you can't do it because it's too hot. So it's saying in reference to putting yourself in a position. Some people go to the clubs or claiming to be saved. How are you going to go to the club and be saved? Oh, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to, you know, sleep with nobody. I'm not going to drink. Well, birds of a feather flock together. If you flock into a club, you're probably a flocking club going two-timing, sleep with somebody pretty soon, person, because that, you know, that life is not going to be good. You say, you judging me? You judging me. Read the book of, read Matthew chapter 7. You'll find out that God was saying, get the plank out of your eye first before you correct somebody. It didn't say you couldn't judge. And that's the problem with the church today. Everybody think you can't judge anything. I mean, every day in life, you judging something. Is this water too cold? What I'm going to eat? I mean, I don't, you know, want to eat this. This person's next to me at work and she's smoking and I'm getting tired of it. Well, you judging her, even though you're right. And then she slips into the hallway when nobody can see her and smokes. You ain't supposed to be smoking in the building. So how you going to make that proper judgment, folks? What about a red light? Should I go through the yellow light or just keep going or stop? We make judgments all the time. We go over to family reunions and totally, there are certain people whose mind is always judging someone else and they just don't know it. But then when somebody comes, turns around and tells them, hey, you need to live a righteous life, you can't judge me. We need to be able to take a whole bunch of hits upside his face, the spiritual face, if we're going to make it to heaven, folks. If somebody comes at you and your pastor come up to you and tell you, hey, I've heard this, you're going to have to tell them, get your hand on my pocket, or get your hand on my pocket, or you're going to be able to tell him, hey, yeah, you're right. Your wife come up to you, your husband come up to you and say, look, man, this is what's going on. I have a feeling. Oh, no, you got the wrong. It's you. It's you. It's always you. It's always the other person. I think we can, as a husband and wife, we can avoid many arguments by just, you know, thinking about it. Because what happens is about 20 minutes later, Or 3 hours later, you think about it. If you'd have just thought about it then, the same thing you're thinking about it at the point that 3 hours later, you all wouldn't have never got an argument in the first place. Because most of us jump in gun. Most of us jump the gun when we get in arguments with our spouse. Especially to save people, to truly save people that have the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God is trying to tell you right away, but that burning sensation that really wants you to get even, overpowers you. It's called sin. It's called sin, folks. Well, getting to the news. Look, y'all, we are getting to some points where CNN ain't going to tell y'all. Fox ain't going to tell y'all. MSNBC ain't going to tell y'all. NBC ain't going to tell y'all. CBS ain't going to tell y'all. LMNOP, QRS, TV. Ain't going to tell y'all. I don't care who it is. They're not going to tell y'all. The Obama administration is going to blow Iran out the water. Now, I don't know if there's a terrorist attack before that. Brought to you by you know who. Look in the mirror. Not necessarily saying you work for the government. But Roosevelt said nothing in politics happened by accident. If it happens, it was planned that way. Now, why is it that 11 warships plus their smaller ships are headed through the CS Canal or to the Persian Gulf? Why? And Egypt and all these other nations are talking smack. But what I see is World War III brewing on the horizon. It says 11 American battleships are, and Israel battleships are headed towards the Persian Gulf, and they're headed towards, it looks like they're going to blow somebody out the water anyway. It says, according to reports, traffic in the canal was halted for several hours in order to allow U.S. Navy vessels, which include an aircraft carrier and carry infantry troops, armed vehicles, and ammunition to pass from the Mediterranean Sea to the Red Sea. It was further reported that eyewitnesses detected an Israel warship among the vessels. No confirmation has been received from Egypt authorities. The report also noted that the fishing activity in the area was stopped during the ship's passage, as well as traffic on the bridge above the canal. Have you ever seen those movies with like Happy Days, where Fonzie has to fight somebody, and they go ahead and say, "Well, let's meet here." Or they do a drag racing event. Remember on Happy Days, they always used to race each other. Or some of those older movies when they had to race. Well, meet us here. We're going to race you guys. Well, this is the same thing. It's as if Iran and the United States are saying, let's meet in Gaza. The flotillas. We're going to challenge our flotillas. And they're going to send some flotilla over there with some women in it. So it's going to get really touchy. See, in the last days, the whole world should come against Israel. And Israel is going to be hated by the whole world. And that's what it looks like it's going to it's happening right now. That Israel is going to be hated by the whole world. Also in the news, you know, the BP spill is still going on, but President Obama was recently at West Point, and he gave a speech calling for a new war order. I'm going to go ahead and play a little of that, and we'll be right back.
We have to shape an international order that can meet the challenges of our generation. We will be steadfast in strengthening those old alliances that have served us so well, including those who will serve by your side in Afghanistan and around the globe. As influence extends to more countries and capitals, we also have to build new partnerships and shape stronger international standards and institutions. This engagement is not an end in itself. The international order we seek is one that can resolve the challenges of our times, countering violent extremism and insurgency, stopping the spread of nuclear weapons and securing nuclear materials, combating a changing climate and sustaining global growth, helping countries feed themselves and care for their sick, preventing conflict and healing wounds. If we are successful in these tests, that will lessen conflicts around the world. It will be supportive of our efforts by our military to secure our country.
Give it up for baby Antichrist. Here's another one about him being in Berlin. I'm just going to reflect back on this for a second. Just listen.
This is Sky News with Paula Middlehurst.
Well, there have been extraordinary scenes in Berlin tonight as thousands of people gathered to hear Barack Obama deliver key foreign policy speech on his current European tour. Democratic presidential hopeful laid out his vision for America's place in a new world order, saying he was speaking as a proud citizen of the United States and a fellow citizen of the world. While Senator Obama tackled America's place in the world at several points in his speech, acknowledging recent splits between the U.S. and the rest of the international community.
In Europe, the view that America is part of what has gone wrong in our world rather than a force to help us make it right has become all to come. Yes, there have been differences between America and Europe. No doubt there will be differences in the future. But the burden of global citizenship continues to bind us together. A change of leadership in Washington will not lift this burden. In this new century, Americans and Europeans alike will be required to do more, not less. Partnership and cooperation among nations is not a choice. It is the only way, the one way, to protect our common security and advance our common humanity.
Join me, Phil Armstrong, and Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday and Saturday at 7 o'clock as we talk about end-time prophecy in line with the second coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed four major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals. so that security and liberty may prosper together.
That was the White Eisenhower, President of the United States, giving a warning of the military-industrial complex. It is done in secrecy. It is corporations who attend to bring about a new world order and a one world government. If you look at the bottom, look at the back of your dollar bill, it says a new deceptus order cyclone, announcing the birth of a new world order. If you go to military posts, you're going to see chapels that are shaped with the shape of pyramids. If you go online and look and research how Washington, D.C. looks from the air, you're going to see a satanic star. You're going to see the Washington Monument as a keystone or a cap adjacent to the Lincoln Memorial. And you're going to see a lot of occultic symbols. If the President of the United States is giving an address to the Union, you're going to see fascist eagles and all kinds of occultic symbols. We are being, in the last days, brought back in, under the power of the British Empire. We fought to get free from the British Empire, which gave us the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And now we're being returned to the British Empire, sponsored by BP. It's funny, in the last days we've been, there's a British company messing up stuff. Now, is this incident tied to the economy truly? No, it's not. But if you look at the British people, a lot of their pensions are tied to the BP empire. And a lot of people were already saying that Britain was going to be like fifth to go down and take a nosedive, the English Empire, financially speaking. In our investment vehicles, the rich get richer. They make up instruments, highly sophisticated instruments called derivatives, is regulated only by hocus pocus. Yeah, truly, it's not regulated at all. The derivative markets work sophistication to an art, but it is really a bogus scheme. These money swaps and credit swaps and all this other stuff, it's just a big fat scheme. So the rich can take more money. Hewlett Packard can go in with $1 million worth of derivatives and come out with $100 million leverage. When I used to trade commodities back in 2007, when I got back from the Middle East, I can go in with about $1,000 and buy one contract controlling $10,000 worth of whatever I bought. So if it's gold, for instance, and you would make $300-$400 in about 5 minutes. You probably say, well, why are you not doing it now? Because I had the Moses syndrome. When I decided that I would rather preach the gospel to you than to be rich, that type of rich. I don't want to be that type of rich. However, having a career will be fine. That's good with me. Or even, you know, now that I've grown, I probably can handle it. But my object is not to get rich. But anyway, let's go back to the derivatives. If we are to believe that the markets are cured, just like they're telling us on the news, we have to remember that there is still a large derivative market out there ready to pop. And the reason why it's ready to prop is because a lot of the government is financed by bonds that are bought by the Chinese. So the Chinese own a lot of our bonds. So if they have to do road construction or build some big superhighway right in the middle of our United States, hint, hint, superhighway, those are financed by bonds from China. Now, China is predicted to go under in about a year. So China is going to go under and say, don't they make the Walmart products? Oh, that's going to really make them rich. Now, China is on the verge of collapse, but at the same time, they're probably in better shape than the United States is. They don't go out and buy cap on credit every 5 minutes, but they got so many people, so that might be the reason why. Let us spend time talking about the Middle East and possibility of war in the next couple of weeks. July 19th is the 9th of Av, which is the time where the Jewish people lost both the first temple and the second temple. Coincidence? Probably not. Let me give you some mathematics here. The chances of Jesus being able to come down on earth and fulfill 8 prophecies, let alone 400 some prophecies, for him to fulfill just 8 prophecies, it's like you taking filling Texas up with quarters and dropping one red quarter in there and telling somebody to find it. That is great possibilities, right? Well, prophecy has been fulfilled and is still being fulfilled and will continue to be fulfilled until the 8th millennium, until the whole world is burned up with fervent heat and it starts back over the 8th day. And we will see prophecy fulfilled in the next couple of months. Now, the last year, I just got to be playing a radio program from last year, and I listened to myself, and I was saying there's a possibility that this it can happen in 2009. But if we can get past this date, then we're gonna go for another year. I bet that on God's mercy. This time, I don't see it. I believe that I would rather spend time in heaven and get myself right than sit here and rot and running from the cops. Because if you don't run, they're going to kill you. And if you love your life unto death, like the Bible says, many will love their life unto death. They would rather take the mark because I love my life. I like me down here. I want to see I want to see Leroy graduate. I want to see blah, 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 have a baby. And also the kid only about 13, 14 years old, 15, 16 years old. Or I want to go here. I want to take this trip. I want to get this house, you know, stepping on my own foot. Look, folks, the world on the other side of the rapture is going to be terrible. The first 3.5 years might be tolerable, but the rest of it is going to be terrible. Why would you even sit here? What cracks me up is some of the people on Facebook and some of the people on YouTube and some of the people you try to explain it to them, especially when I used to be in the military, try to explain it to them. That, hey, man, it's going to be terrible after the rapture. Why would you even hang around here and then cry about it? I had one girl cry. I said, I'm just trying to help you, help me, help you. Come on, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to let you know what's going to happen. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen. But back then, I was saying, I don't know. It could be 5 years from here. It could be 6. It could be 7, 8. It could be this year. I don't know. See, I don't say that now. I'm just like, it's now. But I'm like, look, chick, you better get yourself together. I might be the only walking testimony you might have. I don't tell her that, though. But We need to be walking epistles, and we need to be the light and the salt of the earth. And if we are content with just our lives, if we're content with just doing our thing, if we're content with just living our lives, then we are most miserable. The Bible even says that. If there is no rapture, if God is not going to rescue his people out, was talked about in Luke 21:34-36, we're most miserable. But the Bible says that if the time was not cut short, no flesh will survive. What does he mean by that? Why would you want to be here? If you had a relative telling you that the end times is here and they've been sort of accurate, you might want to listen. I mean, just think, you ain't going to have to cut no grass no more. I ain't saying you're going to go up to heaven and be total lazy. I'm just saying, you don't have to have the womanly problems or the male problems or the back hurt, the hip hurt, the cancer. Sitting there and listening to the stupid news about some kid, the baby being abducted, or some parents beating their kid to death. I mean, I think most of us need a red pill. I mean, so most of us, if you watch American Idol, the auditions part, I don't even think we should laugh at them, because a lot of us don't even get it ourselves. I mean, you really think this world came here by accident? You don't think you're going to die and have to answer to the person? Because I'm fussing at myself, too, because when I was younger, I didn't really think about this stuff either. I didn't think about none of this stuff. I'm serious. I didn't think about nothing. Only thing I thought about was doggone girls and drinking 40 ounces and maybe sometime a career. But you know what, folks? I'm almost this close to a degree, and I don't even, I mean, and I've had a military career. I mean, I don't know if I consider myself successful. Most people probably wouldn't, especially my wife's side of the family. Especially my side of the family, what I'm talking about. But you know what? I think a person, I'm not saying I'm going to knock it. I wouldn't, the Lord wills and he said, Terry, I'm not going to go out and do nothing. Eventually, I'm right now doing the radio program. But if I had a chance, I would do what my uncle said that I should do, my Uncle Leonard. He said, Bug, because that's my nickname. He said, Bug, I think the only thing you want is a peace of mind. And he was 50-some years old at the time. I don't know how old he was at the time. Maybe older. And I'm like thinking to, and I thought about it when I was mad at him first when I hung up the phone. And I thought about it. You know what? You're right. Most people drink 40, I mean, go home and drink. The lady have some, I saw this one at 2020 show when the ladies had the their stash. They got their whiskey stashed away, and their husband never knew that they were alcoholics. I say that she must have been really using some good gum, because I'm figuring out how you going to cover that up. I mean, is it a possibility if your wife come in the room bubbly, you might have think, I mean, what do you think? She saw a UFO in the bathroom or something? I mean, come on. I mean, you need to, everybody needs to look at their spouse's attitude. And they go in the bathroom and come back out laugh and silly. You need to really look at that stuff, because you don't never know what's going on in your household. Well, anyway, the Antichrist, I could hear him walking. It's not Obama. Obama's not the Antichrist. Just because I played those clips don't mean I think Obama's the Antichrist. I have no thoughts of him being the Antichrist. Of course, I'm telling y'all right now, Obama's the Antichrist, we all have been left behind. Stop thinking about him being the Antichrist. He got poor approval ratings. Oh, look, y'all need to find y'all better Antichrist. Y'all looking for the Antichrist, go ahead and look for the Antichrist. I'll be looking for Jesus Christ. But if y'all gonna find an Antichrist, make sure y'all find one with some good approval ratings. Doggone, the Antichrist will be the greatest leader the world has ever seen. No leader will be able to step to him. He won't have a poor approval rating. I don't even think there's going to be a time for the Antichrist to have poor rule approval ratings, because by then, all the computer systems would have been hacked by the doggone globalists. They don't care about y'all. They don't care about our vote. What's a vote? A vote is like a burp. It doesn't count. You'll tell me in Ohio they don't go in there and hack those machines? Are you kidding me? You're kidding me, right? I got a guest coming on in a few minutes. We're going to be talking about various, a couple of incidents that happened on Blog Talk Radio, but we'll talk about that when she comes on. I was going to extend the show, but I think I'll just leave it at that, and she's going to call to come back on later. But God is good, y'all. I mean, God is good. God has given us life. He's given us air. He's given us, I mean, some people take for granted the simple things that God has given us. Well, your brakes on the car. I mean, go figure. I lost a gas cap. I mean, think about this. A gas cap. Nobody goes through the day saying, yeah, I got a gas cap. Cool. I mean, gosh, all the seatbelts work. I mean, you don't go through life doing that. You just don't. But the thing is when they do break, you appreciate when you had it in the first place. I mean, think about this. If you got a motorcycle and you got a gas cap, that gas cap is just as much as, that gas cap is important to you more than a car, because a car can get by and, you know, all of a sudden, okay, we got a new gas cap. But we need to learn to appreciate some of the simplest things, like clean air. Me and my son was coming back from taking him from football camp, and this nasty truck stink, carbon monoxide. And I'm like thinking, sitting there thinking, praise God, because when this truck get out the way, I'll be really happy, dude, because it will stink. We had to let up the windows and turn on the air conditioning. And I appreciate clean air now. You say, well, you never could. Yeah, because when you go over to the Middle East and you sit next to all those porta-johns and those bathrooms, because we used to have to use, especially when the war first started, we'd go in there and use the bathroom. And then when they don't come and empty them, the porta-johns, they don't come and empty them, it smells like five dead people laying around carved up. That's what it smells like. It just stinks. You know, so we need not take things for granted. We need not take things for granted, folks, because taking things for granted is not what we want to do in the world. And one of these ads always pop up on Blog Talk Radio. I can't even find out what the ad is. So if y'all hear some noise going on, it's really getting on my nerves. You go on Blog Talk to listen to a radio program or something, to listen to one of my programs. There's these, if you accidentally even come near, the ad is going to pop up. And then if you got a radio program on and you're just trying to look at something, or you're trying to look on your page and see something, you know, just scream, because it's going to get on your nerves. I even lost my train of thought. I was going to say something and I just don't even know what I was going to say anymore. Gosh, shame on Blog Talk. No, I was saying Blog Talk is a blessing. And like what I was saying before, we need to be blessed that we got some of the simplest utensils in your house, some of the simplest tools, some of the simplest things in your house, like a screwdriver. You know, well, where's the screwdriver? I can't find it. We need to be blessed for everything we get. If you are a single mom, and they give you food stamps, blessed are thou. If you a couple and y'all got some food stamps and y'all got a little bit of food stamps, blessed are thou. I mean, blessed. I mean, you need to be blessed. I mean, wow, we live in the most free country in the world and we still complain about everything. Why is that? And we don't have patience for each other except on Christmas. When's the only time somebody's going to move your buggy out the way? Love your neighbors yourself. Even Christians are just as rude at church. I'm like, gosh, man, do I feel like I'm lonely? I need a Lionel Richie song. I mean, for real. I mean, you go. Have you ever been in a place where you just feel so lonely? It's almost, millions and thousands of people there, but you're like, oh, gosh, I feel like I want to slap myself and take a Vibrant and go to sleep. For real. I mean, people are like that in this world. People are hurting. People need Jesus. People need to come to Jesus that he may give them living water, that he may save them from their hurt and their pain. There are people that's committing suicide every few minutes, and it's mostly because they've lost hope. And Jesus gives people hope, folks. If you ever hear somebody trying to harm themselves, I'm not saying you give shove the Bible down their throat, but at the same time, let's pray that there's somebody around who knows how to articulate Jesus, you know. And I don't even care if you're not saved. You just talk that person out of, you may come to Christ one day yourself, and you might realize, hey, wow, I talked somebody out from eternal damnation. And a lot of people in the churches today, they don't believe in eternal damnation. They don't believe that there is an eternal hell. I don't even believe it sometimes, but I mean, I believe God. Of course I believe God, but I'm just saying in a sarcastic way. I mean, if you sit there and really think about it, you phantom hell, wow, you're going to stay there? I mean, I don't even like staying I go to McDonald's or I go to the gas station. I got to get out of here. I mean, or if I'm like driving around and me and my wife going, you know, to Seattle to see my dad and go all the way to Port Townsend. And I'm like, when I get out the car, I'm like, I got to get out this car. I mean, if you worked somewhere, let's say if you're overseas and you're a military soldier, and that campaign that you're on, that tour of duty is only a year and a half, maybe 2 years, well, you won't say only if you're over there 4 times in a row. That's hell by itself. But think about this, folks. Eternity. E equals MC squared. Not E equals MC squared, but pi. Pi is an eternal number. It does not stop. Hell, just think about this. As soon as you get in hell, you're in there 1,000 years, you just got there. That's sad, folks. The Bible says that we need to choose the right way, which is Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus' enemies said to him, it says, you're a mere man, but you're making yourself God? Now, how is it that these people out there call themselves, say, we can be gods? We're mere man. Now, God himself came as very man and very man and very God and very God. That means all the way God and all the way man came down here to die on the cross for us. He, as God, came down here to die on the cross for us. How in the heck can we say we're gods? Can you die for me? Can I die for you? What would make Jesus different besides him being holy? Only one is righteous. That is God.
They say in the book of Judges that the judges were gods, and they say we are gods.
Come on, man. I don't want you handling my business. I can barely find anybody that's going to help me out of my problems. You're not God, and neither am I. Now, somebody might say, like, LeVon James is God because 4,000 people come see him and he still shows up for 10 minutes when everybody's going home. How's your God doing now? Folks, don't make a human out of a God. You'll get disappointed every time. He better be God fully, even if he's coming down as a man, which Jesus Christ is the only one who did that. God says, come unto me, all the years are heavy laden, I give you rest. That rest that he was talking about in Hebrews chapter 4, folks, is a true rest. You can't get that rest playing lotteries. You can't get that rest going to casino. You can't get that rest cheating on your wife. You can't get that rest turning around looking at every girl you see. And you got so much doggone lust, she probably can explode. You can't, folks, the Bible says, be holy for I'm holy. Now, can we all be holy? We're not perfect. God is working out your salvation. He is working in you, okay? He is working in you that you may obtain salvation. We'll be right back, and we're going to bring our guest on.
Join me, Phil Armstrong, on Blog Talk Radio to discuss end-time events, the mind of Jesus Christ, second coming, earthquakes, pestilence, the mark of the beast technology, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the dividing of Jerusalem, and much more. Join us for our action-packed information that will keep you informed so you can be ready for the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, join us on Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio. We're back. I think this is the first show I've ever just went off and on a tangent, the whole complete show, so... if you guys not used to that, just tune back in later on. You probably hear me just go over news. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and bring Susan on. Susan?
Yeah. Phil, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing, man?
We're really preaching pretty good there.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. We wanted to discuss the little bitty stuff that was going on my webpage.
Yeah. What was happening there?
Well, somebody had put a comment in there that they listened to the show and then they liked the first person and they didn't, we should take you off. And it was two people that did that.
Ooh.
So if it would have been just one person, I'd have been, okay, that's okay. I can understand that. But to have two people, and the thing is, they had the Blog Talk emblems. You know, the logo. So I'm thinking that these people are probably from a ministry somewhere. I was like, why would they go through their time, though? I don't have that many people listening. But I think what they're scared of is what is called a rolling snowball.
Yeah. You
know, the small snowball is small first, and it gets big. So that to me is just saying that I should have you on the show.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, hopefully they'll hear what we have to say and pray about it. Maybe God can save them real good, you know, and they'll stop all that nonsense that they're doing. Like,
yeah.
why would they want you to take me off?
Yeah, exactly.
Ridiculous. And why don't they identify themselves, you know?
Well, they did have labels. I didn't write down what the ministry was, but they did have something on there, but it's just like their whole page is empty. It's as if somebody just got on the Blog Talk Radio, created an account, and just decided to cause problems. But
they should email me, you know.
Yeah.
If want to talk.
Yeah, they might do it because I probably got a lot more people. So that's probably why they're doing it, because they probably just kind of feel threatened, I guess. But,
yeah, well, maybe if they read their Bible, they wouldn't feel threatened to find out what the truth is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, like, I'm not trying to threaten them. I'm only trying to tell them what the truth is so that they'll change and stop all this nonsense.
Yes, indeed.
It's ridiculous.
Yes, indeed.
We've got a world going to hell out there, and... get Christians acting like idiots for the most part. You know, it's bad testimony.
Yeah, they like the pleasures of this life rather than figuring out that sin lasts for a season and it doesn't keep going. It's just,
no, it doesn't keep going. It doesn't. You know, I was looking at the YouTube too, and I saw that you put your program up there on YouTube.
Yes.
And that's something I'd like to get into too. I was inspired today by your comments, and I thought, well, it's time to expand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, at the rate it's going in the Middle East, we probably need to expand quickly, because they are just ridiculously getting military in position to just start. And the thing is that I've been saying this for like 3 or 4 years in a row.
Yeah.
That God, he even sent signals. I don't know if you believe this, and I'm not expecting anybody to believe it, but God has, he said in Luke 21 that I'll send signs that people would understand through the signs, which will match up with a Jewish observance day, which is the 9th of Av. And the militaries are all, if you go on especially if you go on my page, go to, I don't even know my own logo name. I think it's just Philip Armstrong, but I don't know how you would find me. Just punch in Philip Armstrong.
Yeah.
But if you go to my page, you're going to see that I have on there the CS Canal. They got 11 ships. They already had ships heading towards the...
Yeah, 11 U.S. warships passed through as the Suez Canal en route to the Red Sea. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So they yeah. So what they're probably going to do, and I don't know, I'm not 100% on this, but I'm at least 95%, that something's probably going to happen here where they're going to probably be a false flag, and they blame Iran for it and respond quickly. And... The thing about this is that I'm looking for two phases of wars. Psalms 83, which consists of Israel's bordering nations, and I believe they will fight that war first, and Syria will get, Damascus will be knocked out, and what will happen is somehow they come to a ceasefire. They sign a peace deal, which has no time on it. It's not 7 years. It's not. It could be anything else other than 7 years. And I think after about 45 days to 30 days, that thing will explode. And it'd be Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. Now,
why are they sending 11 U.S. warships to the Red Sea?
Well, they're going to go to war.
Uh-huh.
Well, Israel was already going to go to war, but I think what America. See, Albert Pike. Back in the 1800s, actually not 1800s, the 1900s, there was this dude that belonged to the Illuminati, and Busini.
Well, Albert Pike founded the Mason. He wrote that book. I can't remember. Horrible book.
Yeah. So he prophesied that there'd be three wars, and the last war will come at the beginning of the 21st century. And he even gave the particular people that would be involved. Now, is that demonic or what? He gave in this one, he said it to be the Christianity against the Muslim faith. And also he bring in the atheists, which is supposed to be the Russians, but a lot of Christians are in Russia. And they will fight each other up and blow each other out of the water. And he will be, after that, they will neutralize all and probably use one of them, which would probably be the Muslim faith, to bring in their new world order.
Yeah.
And they prophesied the first war, which is World War II, to a T, and also World War I. So this is World War III that would be fought. And he said World War IV would be fought with sticks. So I don't know where he got that one from. But
yeah.
And George Washington also came to saw three world wars. But the person that I really, the person, I say person, but it's really a book. But the Bible is the most accurate book
Oh, yeah. It's the most accurate, yeah.
Yes, and I can almost sit here and... Now, I believe that pretty soon, if this is the year, the alcohol sales and the pizza sales are going to go up because people watch war as if it was a boxing match or one of them ultimate fighting events. And,
yeah. Well, they don't understand. Yeah, they don't really understand.
Oh, they're going to understand when the neutron bomb is headed towards our direction, because the Bible says in Ezekiel 38:39, that he shall send fire upon the coastlands and those who dwell carelessly. And that sounds like Big Mac Walmart / porno America that he's talked about. Those who dwell carelessly. Now, Jesus talked about the last days. There's going to be in the days of Noah, people were carrying on business as usual, which is not a sin at all.
No.
But he's showing complacency, signs of complacency. It's just complacent. I mean, people are complacent. They're not really thinking about God. They're not really thinking about judgment. They're not really thinking about how we have lived our life. And I say just everybody's just out for themselves. And I'll move the book.
Yeah, it's like you're saying, even in the churches, you know, with the people being rude.
Yeah.
And, sometimes you feel like you're a stranger in a strange land.
Yeah, exactly.
And we don't, but the Bible talks about that the love of many will wax cold in the end times, and we see that. You know, we see with the whole situation, like you see on Christian television with, they preach a gospel for the most part where it's not about love. It's really not about loving your neighbor as yourself. It's about just getting everything for yourself, get everything you can, and forget about your neighbor.
Yes, be a better you.
Yeah, be a better you, and give more money and get more money, and just don't think about anybody else. Just think about yourself and your needs. So they've perpetuated this whole gospel of selfishness.
Yes.
And it has really wreaked so much havoc in the church, the church world. But, there God does have a remnant. So there will be, his true church that will be there to help people, because who's going to help people?
Yeah.
It's only going to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always been the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that really has helped people in the world.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And it's also the part of the restraining agent. And the last days, kids will turn in their parents, because President Obama's creating a national civilian force to squeal on their neighbors, right?
I know. Well, years ago I went to Czechoslovakia right after communism fell.
Uh-huh.
And, it was amazing, really, because you crossed the border and you didn't even have to show a passport. Uh-huh. And the gates were open to go in there. But I remember that we were standing on a street corner one night, a group of Christians, and we were talking and we were talking and we were laughing. And then, we saw a soldier, and all of a sudden the Czechoslovakian people we were with, they were afraid. They were still afraid to stand on the street and talk and laugh and talk about the Lord, even though they were free to do it.
Yeah.
And so, I can see those things happening here.
Yeah. And I also have a squad of 25,000 preachers who are going to school their congregations on how to turn their neighbors in.
There's already people that are doing that kind of thing. There's a lot of people. You'd be surprised. There's a lot of people doing that kind of thing. And it's like you were saying before, I thought about that today when, you had told me today about, people telling me that you shouldn't have me on the program or whatever. We're not trying to hurt anybody.
No, we are
trying to tell you the truth, because we know the truth. We know what Jesus Christ did in our life.
Yes.
And that's why we do what we do. That's why we put ourselves out there on Blog Talk Radio, put yourself out there on YouTube, because you're trying to help people. That's what it's all about. We're not trying to hurt anybody.
Yeah, indeed. Yes, indeed. This is, believe it or not, it's a love thing, or you still love your neighbor as yourself. When somebody is preaching error, the Bible even says for us to go ahead and go to that person and let him know. And if he does not correct himself then kind of cast them off. But right now we're in a deal right now that we want to be a light to even those who are went off the path.
Well, that's true. It's like Mike Murdoch, okay? Well, you know, people don't want you to talk about him. But I wrote, before I even went on the internet with any kind of information about Mike Murdoch and this whole, you know, con job that he's playing on people and these blessing scams and all that, I wrote him a letter. Well, do you think he ever answered me? No. You can't pick up the phone and talk to him. He doesn't want to talk to you. And not only that, when I wrote him a letter, he writes me back a form letter and, you know, pretends to write me a letter and had nothing to do with the letter that I wrote him opposing all the seed faith nonsense and all that.
Yeah.
So, okay, if you can't talk to them, how else are you going to talk to them? So you put it up on the internet and you talk to them and hopefully they're listening.
Yeah, and a lot of times they probably are.
Yeah, I know they are. I know they are because I've heard comments, you know, by some of them, and I know that they were talking about me.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not the only one. You know, thank God for the internet because there's you know, God has His people out there, His watchmen and His people that are warning people and trying to get you to take a good look at what you're doing. How are you representing Jesus Christ on this earth?
Yeah.
What kind of a testimony are you showing people? So that's important. All that is very important.
Yeah, and that's why President Obama just got handed the power to have a kill switch on the internet.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that amazing?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Somebody here, I forgot who it was, but somebody said he's going to be a dictator, and they just said it a few. I have to remember who it is. But
the thing is, look what happened with the health care thing.
Yeah.
They had all those protests.
Yeah.
And you had tens of thousands of people coming out to protest that they didn't want socialized medicine. And what happens? You know, I mean, it just goes through.
Yeah. Yeah, as if we didn't say anything.
Yeah.
The power of one vote has just became the power of the administration. And millions of votes have been transferred to the administration because once a terrorist attack happens, the next time they're going to take complete powers because they have already been set up by prior presidents.
Right.
Orders and laws. And the bad thing is that Congress sits up in there and they pass some of the most draconian bills and they talk about they don't read it. I'm saying now, you're going to let somebody create a bill overnight at 3 o'clock in the morning and then come hot off the press and then they're going to put, no, not in this country. You need to sit there and you need to read this. Take another
bill. Yeah, but the thing is, Phil, what... You know, how many pages does a bill have to be? You know, they just go on and on, and it's just, you know, vain jangling like the Bible talks about, and useless ramblings, and you can't read it. It's like trying to figure out the IRS code, you know, instead of like having a simple way to pay your taxes, so it's just simple. No, they make it so confusing. But who's the author of confusion?
Yeah. Exactly, and they say, and that's why they do it. They do it complete so nobody can figure it out. They don't want you to figure it out. So what they do is they just get a whole bunch of smart professors or something, and then they come together with this vocabulary that nobody can codes and things.
Yeah,
and figure it out. And then the one congressman on Fahrenheit 9/11, someone like, you expect us to read all that stuff? We can't read all of that. That's just not going, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what you're getting paid for.
Exactly.
You got a nice job over there, so like, do your job.
Yeah, do it good to the best of your ability. But
That's
they
it.
Have, yeah. So we don't have to worry about any false information on the internet because it's been there for a while. But they just same way that you were saying that we have a vehicle to preach the truth, they have a vehicle to preach the false.
Sure.
And I was listening to this guy, and I thought he was a Christian for a second, and I thought I had to listen just before the show. And it turns out he was an atheist. And this white guy is funny, though, because he was rapping. And he was rapping, but there is no God. I'm like, dude, man, you have that much pride in saying that there is no God.
Yeah.
The Bible has called you a fool.
Yeah.
You know, and then the bad thing is that we have preachers that are in the prosperity movement just as guilty as he is because they know the truth.
That's it. They know the truth. Yes. Some of them have really been born again at one time.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
And they took that Bible and they said, wow, you know, I can really profit from this thing.
Yeah, they like
rich.
Christmas.
I could be rich, like the devil came and tempted Jesus. I'll give you all of this. You know?
Yeah. Or like Fred Flintstone, remember the scene where somebody come up and every time they mention the word bet, he go, bet, and the cash register signs go up in his eyes. And
yeah,
that's them right there. Send me $5, $500. If you can't send that, just go ahead and we can make payments.
Yeah, now, remember years ago, the preachers used to tell you, now, tear up your credit cards.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to get out of debt. Now they tell you, send it on your credit.
Yeah.
Send me $1,000 on your credit and put it on your credit card.
We take PayPal. We
They go, wow, I've got a $3 million mansion and I've got a $5 million jet.
Yeah. How can some of those guys go, how can they have financial problems? I don't understand that. What do they do to get fine? I can't remember some of them, but I know a few of them were finance. They were having financial
problems.
Oh,
there's a lot of them with financial problems. See, the thing is, I mean, I would say in the next year or so, you're going to see a lot of ministries collapse. I mean, it's just like Oral and Richard Roberts, okay, they had ORU, and I mean, it was probably worth $50 million, $100 million at university, and then they had a big worldwide ministry. They were on TV, buying TV time cost millions of dollars. Well, they couldn't pay their bills. I mean, they were the biggest proponents of seed faith, I mean, the biggest proponents of this whole seed faith gospel, but yet they were like $30 million or $40 million in debt constantly, and they couldn't keep the university going. So they finally had to sell it, basically. Somebody bought it.
Yeah.
And now you see Richard Roberts, if you see him on TV, he's not in the Maybe Center anymore. He used to be, and when he would hold a meeting, he would have, you know, thousands of people in the Maybe Center because it belonged to him. Now he's in a little room somewhere. You know, it looks like there's 500 people in this room coming to his meetings in Tulsa.
Yeah.
So, you know, if seed faith really worked, then why were Richard and Oral Roberts always in debt?
Yeah.
It didn't work for them.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they lost their university, and the man that bought it, thank God, he was a businessman and a good businessman, he got it out of debt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he paid off the debt.
Wow. Okay, we got about 7 minutes left. I know it's kind of late on that side, so we're going to let you hit the sack. But I have a question for you, maybe two. Is there a person that actually bought a toilet stool seat or toilets? I had to do that one. That's toilet flushing. But has anybody ever bought a toilet stool for like $7,000, I heard, gold?
I think that was Joyce Meyer.
Why? Okay, I'm not even going to go
there. Or Morris Cirillo. I mean, he's got supposedly has a gold-plated jet.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, he's building a city. Morris Cirillo, he's building a city. You know, I mean, we got to have a city. I mean, Morris and Cirillo and his son, they have to have a city.
Wow.
Yeah, they're building this city of light, they call it. Oh, yeah. I mean, they have a constant telethon. After Jim Baker's ministry fell in the 80s, they went and, like a bunch of scavengers, they were all trying to get the pickings over there. And
yeah,
they bought that Jim Baker satellite network, Morris Cirillo. They own that PTL satellite network.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I want to address the people in the chat room. There's not anybody in the chat room. I haven't been bothering with chat room for a while. There's usually a lot of people in there, but I thank y'all for coming by. I appreciate it. Y'all come back and see us next time we have a show. I'm going to try to get my confidence back with the chat room again, but I've been having some bad I need to pray a lot more harder when I come.
Yeah, that's it, because I mean, sometimes people really do have some good comments.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, there's always a few people out there. It's like, but you know, weird.
I mean,
like, why do you have to be weird, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to be like that. It's like, we want to let you know that Jesus Christ loves you. He wants to save you. He can save you. He can save you from drugs. He can save you from alcohol. He can save you from divorce. He
yep.
can save you and give you a wonderful life. And
yep.
and even in spite of all the things that are happening on the earth today,
yep.
Jesus Christ can help you. He gives you eternal life. He gives you a home in heaven. I mean, who offers you that? It's like I say on my program, you know, people talk about evolution and they want to believe they came from an ape. But what's the better deal, believing that you were created in the image of God or you were created in the image of an ape?
Yeah, exactly. I guess they kind of like the notion of being in a zoo.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like, how can you even want to believe that? How can you look outside and look at the sun and the moon and the stars and the trees and the birds and the animals and all these things and think that it all evolved from nothing? There is a God. There is a God, a God Almighty that is the creator of the universe. He has everything under control. And no matter what happens, he's in control.
Yes, indeed.
God is in control.
Yes, indeed.
And the Lord Jesus Christ is in control.
And that's a good thing. Now to mention this, because I had just been through a creation science with Answers in Genesis, and also just had biology, which I didn't do too hot in. I don't care what, but I didn't do too hot in that. But,
yeah.
Anyway,
that's where I learned I came from an ape when I went to college.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where they told me I came from an ape.
And then the teacher tries to she still tries to slip it in there somewhere.
Oh yeah, like I was paying for that education too.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I mean, gosh. I mean, to find out I come from some type of a monster or evolved, I really think people need to really think hard about that, because if I can use that same philosophy with life, everybody would be successful, because we can create something out of nothing. Which
yeah, exactly.
We can sit on the couch and eat bun buns, still get a college degree. I don't have to go to biology class. Stay home.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Susan. We're going to have you on again pretty soon.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to do a longer show.
Yeah.
Be more consistent with it. I have so many guys, people, that was going to come on, and I just kind of, we'll start doing that next week.
Yeah, that would be great, Phil.
God bless you. You have Beautiful day. How's the weather over there?
Oh, hot.
Oh, hot. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. We've been getting some much-needed rain, so everything's greening up real nice and growing. And but no, it's hot. Florida's hot from about the middle of May till the middle of October. I mean, hot.
Yeah.
But we have great winters.
Okay, thank you so much. God bless you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Thank you so much for thinking about me. Bye.
That was Susan Polio, and great guest. We're going to thank y'all for coming in the chat room and listening to us. We're going to try to get that thing filled up again. We kind of got out of it. But God bless everybody out there, and y'all have a wonderful, blessed night. God bless. That's it. That's it. Something happened, man. I'm thinking it's those things are not going out. Yeah, I guess y'all did see it. Whatever, man.